Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, Homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fam you'll want to check out. We're road tripping at homage.com. Welcome into another edition of Road Trippin', Richard versus Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and here on episode 60, it's Team Richard taking over, and we promise it is not as awkward as the title of the episode may make it seem. Yeah, Jameer Nelson and Richard have been NBA teammates before, Dallas Mavericks together to be exact, and yes, just a few short months ago, their paths crossed yet again, but as they always say, when one door closes, another one opens. But then another one opened as well. And so as the Nuggets take on the Pelicans tonight in New Orleans, the two vets had a chance to catch up before the first meeting of the season a couple weeks ago. And like I said, they make it everything but awkward. Rather, it was an insightful conversation into the business side of the game as well as the personal side of these two pros. So Richard, Katie, Jameer, take it away, guys.
Okay, thanks, Allie. Here we have another first. I don't think ever in the history of the NBA, two guys have had to sit down and talk things out after one was waived so the other one could come in.
You know it's a boxing ring upstairs, right?
I think we're different weight classes.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, we actually might be the same weight class.
I've seen your little stocky guys. I feel like, yeah, but you'd be like the Mike Tyson, like just short and just, how tall are you now? Honestly.
6'3". With my shoes on. No, I'm joking.
I know.
5'11".
5'11", yeah.
Tall are you now? Like he's like grown in the last year.
Yeah. Well, now, we haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
How are things
It seems like anytime your name comes up, like the team that I'm on changes me because of you for some reason.
Yeah, because we showed up in Dallas.
We were next to each other in the locker room laughing, and we were having a good time.
I think that's what it was. We were having too much fun in Dallas.
I mean, we had the number one offense in NBA history at the time, and they got rid of me because of you.
Well, yes, but understand that like they can only control one of us at a time, and they felt like.
I was more of a threat.
You were much more of a threat because you were playing more. You were playing more. I wasn't. Right. So they're like, "Well, we can not play Richard and keep him at bay."
Right.
Right. Like that was. I think that was really, really the main goal. What? Wait. How did you end up? Who did they trade you for?
Rondo. I was in Boston for like 2.5 weeks.
Oh, I forgot.
Then I came to Denver for, you know, my good stint I had. What, 3 years it was?
3 years. Yeah,
3 years, good 3 years.
So for the people that we're going to rewind this. So it was domino effects. Mm-hmm. And as we should blame Pat Riley. And the reason why we should blame Pat Riley is because he fucked up the negotiations with D Wade, which he apologized. And then he went to Chicago. D Wade went to Chicago. He called their bluff. As we all know, that worked out beautifully. And then during the buyout, D D-Wade now becomes a free agent, one of LeBron's best friends, and so he comes in, which ultimately forces me out.
Right.
Right, forces me out of a place where, hey, sorry, I won a championship and went to two NBA finals. Cool, no big deal, no one cares. And then I'm a free agent now, and they are looking to play. Denver's like, we have two guys that we drafted in the top 10 that are both point guards, but we would like to play them, but obviously we have Jameer, you're a talented guy, and but we still need veteran leadership, we want somebody in. Well, if we waive Jameer and bring Richard in, then all of a sudden that will put coach in a position to have to play
the two young guys. Right.
But what people don't understand is that as much as we want to blame fucking Pat Riley, who I grew up loving as a Laker fan. Thanks, Pat, for messing up that D-Wade negotiation 2 years ago. Do you see how it's still affecting people and what's going on? When they told me, they were telling me they were working on some things, and I thought you would be here. You were literally the only guy I knew on this team. And I was like, Jameer? Oh, yeah, yeah. I could hang out with Jameer, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of knew just going to the season that I probably wouldn't be in Denver throughout the entire season, just because I know at some point they had to let the two young guys grow.
Yeah.
It happened for me when I was younger. I was playing in front of Carlos Arroyo, Keon Dooling, who both were talented guys. And if I would mess up in a game, a coach would sit me down and play those two guys. And what the general manager did was took both of those guys away and forced the coach to play me. So I understand the business side of it. The timing was fucked up.
The timing was really fucked. No, how about that? The timing was fucked up for both of us.
Right.
Because I get traded to Atlanta, and I'm like, I'm not going to Atlanta.
Right.
Right? And they knew it. I was like, I'm not going to Atlanta. And that's no disrespect. I love Bud. Kent Bazemore is a good friend of mine. Like, I respect what they're doing, but they just let go of Paul. They just let go of Tim. They traded Kyle. You know, they just let go of a bunch of guys because they're in a different phase.
But they're road tripping, though.
But they are road tripping, and so that's all that matters. Road tripping NBA, holla. shout out to your boys. But so it was kind of in a spot where it was like, they were trying to do things to keep me, and it didn't work out. And so I gave them the opportunity. I'm like, I'll wait till the last minute to give you guys the opportunity if you guys are trying to keep me. But I basically get traded and waived before opening day, right?
Right.
Where it just is like, shit. The difference between you and I is that you're a point guard. Everyone needs a point guard.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I mean, the good thing is, you know, I had a pretty good solid season last year. So teams, you know, I had about 9-10 teams that called me immediately. And then afterwards, other teams were calling saying, are we in? And I'm like, I made my mind up.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that was I'm playing with two monsters. I mean,
yeah.
Two guys who average 25 plus and 10, 12 rebounds, which is pretty much unheard of in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, we had a couple of guys that were kind of claiming like they were a little sick today and shooting around. We don't have to name any names. I see
they got the itis.
Yeah, they got the itis.
Yeah, so for all a couple you guys had itis before.
Yeah, so all you guys, all the fans out there in the NBA, it's called the itis. Whenever someone is coming to town that is a monster in your position, and you are in a position, and you see that guy in that position, either, oh yeah, my ankle doesn't feel right, or oh, coach, I install, oh, you got the 48-minute flu, huh?
Yep.
Once this 48 minutes goes by, you're going to be fine.
See, okay. I've seen that happen when I was in Orlando a lot, when people had to come in there and play against Dwight.
Yeah.
But what happened was, like you said, they would have the flu for that game.
Yeah, and play the next game.
And because it was always teams that had to come do the Florida swing, play Orlando, Miami, they would play the next night.
Yeah.
They'd be hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but that's what it started off with, the Shaq-itis.
Yeah, Shaq-itis.
Like Shaq and you know, there's MJ, like he always jokes like, hey, listen, when MJ comes to town, don't bring your family. Don't do all that stuff, because you're going to look up and see your family like cheering or making faces and shit. And it's just like, yo, you're going to go home pissed off. You're like, man, Dad, Michael was amazing. He's like, you want to live with him? What you want to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, no. One of the things, like, you know, I've been doing this podcast now for almost a year, and people don't, this is an inside look. This is an inside look from the standpoint of, like, no one has ever sat and had a conversation. It's like, hey, I got waived and now I'm here.
Right.
You know, to come in. You got waived because I came in. Well, not because of me, but you got waived to give the young guys an opportunity. Jamal and Mood. And it's like GMs look at it from a standpoint of like, hey, like, you know, we want to play the young guys.
Right.
And the only way to survive in this league is to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know how understanding you are.
I mean... I've grown to be understanding. Maybe 3 years ago, I would have been really pissed off. Four years ago, I would have been really pissed off. But like I said, the more I've been around the game and been around the front office and coaches and stuff like that, I understand that it's a business. I understand the business side of it a lot better than a lot of guys, just because I've been moved around so much over the last 4 or 5 years.
No, but that's so, what happens. You go a long stint,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden you just have to bounce.
Well, I mean, how can I complain? I was in Orlando for 10 years. It was my decision to leave. I didn't really like what was going on there with the whole change, the things that they tried.
They bought you out, right?
Yeah, they bought me out, but I asked for the buyout. Like, yeah. I literally could have stayed if I really wanted to. I could have forced them to keep me there, but I was like,
They tried to get you in Cleveland, didn't they?
Yeah.
My first year in Dallas was your first year in Dallas,
yeah.
And that was the first year, and they were trying to get you to come in.
Trying to get me to go to Cleveland.
What the fuck, man?
Everybody make mistakes, man.
It was a mistake. And I showed up the next year.
I know.
Either way, then we would have had a good living.
You remember when you agreed to the deal and then backed out?
To Dallas? Yes. Yeah, I agreed to the deal.
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah. Because I went and was like, yeah, this doesn't look like it's going to work out too well for me. Yeah. Well, it wasn't a mistake. If DeAndre Jordan and
this is a business. It's a business decision.
It's a business decision. Yeah. And I told Mark Cuban at the time, I was like, Mark, like, I'm not that guy. No, it is different having no other guys to talk to. So, other locker rooms in Dallas, we had a lot of alpha males in that.
Right.
We had Chandler, Parsons, you had Dirk, who's hilarious.
Monte.
We had a lot of personalities. Yeah. So it's like our personalities don't stand out as much because we're just kind of
We fit in
that group. But when you get to here, and it's just like, I'm looking around, and like, so I'm in your locker. I not only did they get you the fuck out of here, they gave me your locker too, right?
Cherry on top.
Oh, man.
What's your number?
14.
Yeah, I was going to take that.
No, you were. I had number one here. Gary got 14. Yeah.
So I was going to take your number also, but they didn't let that fly. Oh, so funny.
Every year, millions of people receive the least liked gift of all time. Underwear, but we still give it to our family and our loved ones who just don't want it. But maybe it's not that underwear is the problem, rather, it's the kind of underwear we are giving. So let me tell you about MeUndies, the only underwear that makes for an amazing gift, and that, from my own personal experience, is no stretch of the imagination. In fact, I'll make sure those who are receiving gifts from me this year get to experience exactly what I'm talking about. Unlike any other, MeUndies have a soft, flexible waistband, are 3 times softer than cotton, and are made with natural, sustainable source fiber. Let's be honest, what more could you possibly want in terms of being comfortable around the holidays? MeUndies made underwear, the perfect gift that everyone is going to love you for. So this year, don't give underwear, give MeUndies. Better yet, this holiday season, to get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks, that's right, socks included, that you'll ever wear, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/road. That's MeUndies.com/road.
No, it is different, the dynamic. So yeah. I went from an old vet locker room to like one of the younger teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like you went from like younger team to now guys that are good,
mm-hmm.
but still on the getting into the prime.
Right.
You know, how are you handling that?
Good. I mean, I'm handling it well. I mean, one thing I think helps me out is I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if you're bouncing around in any job, then you can get lost. You can get lost in the sauce. It's one of those things, like I said, I know I'm going to come in, I'm going to play a certain amount of minutes, I'm going to get some shots, a couple threes. I mean, I'm not like, hey, I'm going out here, I need to get 20 shots up. You know what I'm saying? I know my role.
Which is one of the most important things, knowing your role as you get older.
Knowing your role.
Yeah.
And like, you have to accept it, too.
So I've seen different teams in this league, you know, teams that are, you know, whether it's, you know, the really good teams, like, you know, Boston's playing well, Golden State, you know, Cleveland, whoever it is, one thing that people don't understand is not only accepting your role,
right,
but accepting your role with enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, enthusiasm is, like, the most important thing. You know, and that goes on every level. High school, Katie, you played in college.
Yep.
You know, like, that's one of the most important things is just, like, accepting your role with enthusiasm. Even if you don't like it, like, I don't like this shit,
right,
but I'm going to do this to the best of my ability. Right.
Well, I think that expands off the court too. I mean, you guys are talking about as veterans in the league how your voices have changed in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You have to adjust based on the personalities and what you're dealing with in that situation too.
Yeah, 100%. And your personality is shit. I just want to make sure all the Denver fans. Are we going to see a tribute video?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I don't know if, I mean, I've seen a lot of guys come back to Denver. I haven't seen a tribute video. Yeah. I don't know if they, like.
They do that here?
Yeah, I might not do that. They might send it to you on your email or something.
Thank you. They'll
nice about saving money.
Yeah.
They're going to save a little bit of money on the video.
Yeah. So video production. That's not that hard.
Give it to you. Let the candy lady give it to you.
So thank you. Okay.
But her, she is unbelievable.
She is super nice. Like, okay, so. There are certain fans in the NBA, as you know.
Right.
Katie, you're right. You're right next to it. You're right next to
it. I am right there.
Does anybody know her name? I don't know.
I haven't formally met her yet.
Please formally meet her so we can talk about it.
Well, I don't actually get, I'm not on the level of getting a bag of candy yet. But I do get the scraps from the guys because my cart is right by where you guys walk through.
So for the fans out there, and there's a lady that always has these signs that like, we love Richard Jefferson, we love Jameer. And for players that come back, she still holds up signs like, hey,
her name is Vicky.
Okay, Vicky. I haven't had the opportunity to meet her yet, right? And so, for fans that don't know, basically, whenever we come on and off the court, this lady has a bag full of candy. Imagine, like, the first, like, six houses you hit in Halloween. Like, that's how much candy she has.
Well, and each player's name is written on the Ziploc.
And every game, she has a Ziploc bag full of candy, right? And our locker room is littered with candy wrappers. And it's just like, Vicky, I know you mean well. But this is not what we should be eating pre-game.
Some protein bars and some
veggies. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's crazy. I can't believe the coaches let that shit fly.
The coaches eat it.
Yeah, coaches eat everybody.
They get their own.
Like Popovich or somebody like that, Pat Riley, they would have kicked her out of the arena. So you trying to give my players candy like before the game?
She's very sweet. She has a really, really big heart.
Yeah.
And she's, I mean, I didn't know her. You know, I got drafted here. And I got traded.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
that doesn't count.
No, listen. Let me tell you. This is the point. So I got drafted and traded draft night. So when my first time coming here, she was outside with a sign saying, "We love you, Jameer." So I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, it's just her thing. Anytime somebody's like
associated,
right,
with the
Nuggets, then she's like, "We love you."
Yeah.
And like, if you notice, like, she has to sign up for everybody and she won't put it down until you wave to her.
Right. I just realized that.
Yeah.
That's
the key, is that you have to wave to her.
Yeah.
So I walk off the court. Like, I didn't go out there for a while, but I walk off the court at halftime and she hands bags of candy. So she hands me a bag of candy. I took one Snickers out, and so Katie's cubicle cart
with my monitor
is right there. I handed it to her. After the game, she's like, "You don't understand. You saved my life." I was like, "What are you talking about?" Go ahead.
I was so hungry. I can't even begin to describe my timing. I think it was the other late game too that we had earlier this season. So you know your schedule changes when you get thrown an 8:30 tip.
Yeah.
I ate way too early that day. I was starving in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And Richard walks by and tosses me that candy, and I just wanted to get on. I was so thankful.
Well, it was because my willpower with certain things is not great, right? Alcohol, candy, probably a few other things I can't talk about on this podcast, but I'm still trying to stay somewhat professional. Like, by the way, I got a stop sign tattooed on my hand, like look at this, so that I would stop drinking, right? Like, but it doesn't work. But
I was going to say, does it work?
No, it doesn't work, but it's still funny. But that's what I'm saying. The stop sign is because I have a very low, like, ability to, like, stop myself from doing things. So I took out
so
one.
So extra.
Yeah, I took out one piece and then just gave. I was like, who is the first person? I didn't want to throw it in the trash because I feel like she takes the time. And I'm telling you, there's, like, 12 different types. And she says, if you tell me what you like.
She'll give it to you. We used to save them. It was a locker next to mine. Everybody would take out a piece or two or whatever. And then, you know, during the course of practice days and stuff like that, guys would go in the locker and get whatever they like. And I would charge them $20 a year.
$20 a year? Yeah,
initiation fee.
Initiation fee to get whatever you like?
Whatever you like for the rest of the year.
You don't look like you have the body type to really consume a lot of candy.
I mean, I shouldn't. I mean, I'll get in the steam room afterwards, sweat it out.
Every year, millions of people receive the least liked gift of all time, underwear. But we still give it to our family and our loved ones who just don't want it. But maybe it's not that underwear is the problem. Rather, it's the kind of underwear we are giving. So let me tell you about MeUndies, the only underwear that makes for an amazing gift. And that, from my own personal experience, is no stretch of the imagination. In fact, I'll make sure those who are receiving gifts from me this year get to experience exactly what I'm talking about. Unlike any other, MeUndies have a soft, flexible waistband, are 3 times softer than cotton, and are made with natural, sustainable source fiber. Let's be honest, what more could you possibly want in terms of being comfortable around the holidays? MeUndies made underwear, the perfect gift that everyone is going to love you for. So this year, don't give underwear, give MeUndies. Better yet, this holiday season, to get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks, that's right, socks included, that you'll ever wear, free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/road. That's MeUndies.com/road.
How's the family, man?
Fam's good, man. Kid's getting big. My son is taller than me.
That doesn't say much.
But, you know, he's taller than me. 16.
That's a big moment.
Can he play as a parent and a kid?
Yeah, we went to an unofficial visit to Bucknell University.
Okay. Oh, my God. College scholarship. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. My two oldest daughters, they're 12, 9, and my youngest is 5. But the two oldest, I know, I got a lot of kids.
You got all these kids. I know. And you're not even that old.
Listen, one thing I'm going to be able to do is play and run around with my kids until they get old.
Yeah, because I got Lil Rich. So we were pregnant with Lil Rich in Dallas. Right. Were you still there when we had him?
No.
You just left.
Just left.
So now I got two little fucking monsters. I got Richard and Lil Phoenix.
Okay.
And so, running around with them is an issue. It's not fun. It's not fun.
One of my friends, he just turned 50. And
damn.
Yeah.
That's sad when your friends are 50.
I got old friends, real old. So he just turned 50, and he has a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's like, I can't keep up with him. I'm like, I don't want to be 50 running around with a 2-year-old.
No, and you're right. Like, I'm sitting here, like, one of his favorite sentences is, daddy up. Right. Daddy up.
Because
I'm sitting, I don't get up. That's my ass. I like take a ball and throw it. Like,
oh, you crazy.
I play fetch with my 2-year-old. But he likes to play ball. Like, he's addicted to hoop, right? So he always wants me, my wife was like, what did you say daddy was good at? Daddy good at dunk. Because I dunk on a little hoop with him. And she was like, what's mommy good at? And he goes, mommy's good at night-night. I was like, babe, he always wants me to play. And I'm like, Lil Rich, like, I got a game ready. I got to ice my knees. He's like, why? I was like, because, man, I'm kind of old. I was like, I got to go to practice so you can keep coming to the arena. And he's like, okay, daddy, you can go.
When I had my son, I was 19. And he actually seen me.
Everything, college, which is awesome.
My daughters, for the most part, too, so they know. They know who I am. They go to work out with me. They know my work ethic. So, for me, it's a good thing because hopefully that translates to their work.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughters are softball players. I mean, it's serious. Like, travel softball is, like...
Serious.
Like, no, it's, like, the serious. It's more serious than AAU basketball, in my opinion.
No, it's intense. And it's shit, too, by the way.
AAU?
No. I'm not talking about, like, the women's sports. So, I dated a girl. I talked about her parents on here that were really intense.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Selena Collins. She played softball at Texas A&M. But, like, she used to come to all my high school games.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents, like, out of, like, respect, was like, make sure you come support her.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I'll come support her. You know, the difference was my games were going on in the winter in a gym in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Hers games were going on in the summer
outside
in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. Whew.
So, now, like, we're on a field for probably 8 hours Saturday, 8 to 10 hours Sunday.
Yeah.
And you just out sweating, bugs.
Oh, it's a monster.
Sunscreen everywhere. And
are they on the same team?
No. So me and my wife,
so you're all over the place.
We're like split up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you don't.
Yeah, we see each other in the morning. Like, we'll wake up on Saturday and Sunday. We're probably up at 4 or 5 in the morning.
What's the name of their teams?
Banshees Fast Pitch.
Where is it at?
It's Hatboro, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Right outside where I live.
So the team was Storm. I think it was the Storm team. So I came up, I went to school with Jenny Finch, who was...
They actually playing her. She has a field called Diamond Nation that they play in Jersey.
Yeah, so me, Jenny, Luke Walton, we were all freshmen the first year at Arizona. And then she went and had, like, they won the national championship my last year in school. We lost in the national championship. Arizona is one of, like, the great, like, softball schools. But, yeah, shout out Jenny. What's going on? I think it's Jenny... Daigle, I think her last name is. Like, yeah. I think I saw her at the ESPYs. When we won the championship, no one cares. But softball is huge. And so, like, my high school girlfriend group played, and so I watched her and kind of followed her career, like, with the national team and all this stuff. And when I was in the Olympics in 2004, I watched them win the gold medal. We won the bronze. No one cares. Softball is a big deal.
And you know, because of the Title IX stuff, that it's important for females to get involved in sports, because, you know, schools are looking to give, you know, scholarships out to females because but you have to be good at it.
Yeah.
But they want to help you out. They want to give you more money in terms of scholarship money.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the schools now with softball, and you know, you can speak on this, is that it's spreading. When I, like, 10, 15 years ago, it was primarily West Coast.
Right,
and
it's everywhere.
And then it went to the Midwest.
Right.
Because you used to have, like, of the Pac-10 schools at the time, like seven of them would be in the top, like 15, right? UCLA was dominant.
Yeah.
I was there with, there's just a bunch of girls. We used to host them on visits because that was like the big team on campus. They were the best team. Like, Arizona basketball obviously is a big deal, but if you look at tradition and history, Coach Candrea there at Arizona, they had a great, great history. I used to hang out at Tony Mascarenas. That's one of my homegirls. I'm giving them all the shout outs to the softball girls I knew back then. But no, we used to have a good time. The softball girls were fun at Arizona.
Well, even you talk about the sport growing, I went to school in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I mean, softball was a big deal there too. Melinda Fisher, I went to Illinois State. Shout out Missouri Valley. Softball's a huge deal. It's growing a ton. Melinda Fisher was one of the most decorated coaches in softball history there. She's been there forever.
Yeah.
So you're seeing these more atypical sports, especially with women.
Yeah.
Well, grow even more.
Yeah, the Title IX thing is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether it's swimming, softball, volleyball.
Golf.
Yeah, golf.
Golf, yeah, especially, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to get into the golf. Arizona, Annika Sorenstam, Reina. Like, we had a real strong... Arizona's just... is an athletic institution more than it is an academic one. But
not St. Joe's.
No.
Can we have one podcast where you don't talk about Arizona?
Zero. We will have zero podcasts. Zero podcasts.
It always comes
That's
up.
That's why I started it with Channing, so like he didn't get too annoyed because we could both talk about Arizona. But dude, I don't want to keep you too much more, man, but...
I want to know, though, how are you as a fan? Like, as a parent in the stands?
All the parents come to me and ask me how come I don't scream and yell. And I'm like, because I'm a parent. I'm here to support. So
that doesn't stop other parents.
I know, but
they don't have the same success that Jameer does.
Well, so this is the thing. Like, as an athlete, I'm not a screamer and yeller at my game.
True.
So what I do is, my kids, I won't say, you need to do this, you should do that. I'll say, listen, if you want to work out, I'll send you, you know, we'll get you work or whatever. I'm not going to force you to do it. And at the games, I just sit there and be quiet. And they ask, I say, it's not my game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here to help them get better if they want to get better. And like I tell my kids, if you want to do something, you have to put 100% into it.
Yeah.
For me to put 100% into it. But if you're not putting 100%, why should I? It doesn't make sense.
And they've watched you put 100% into it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, though. I take you as like a fight the coach type of dad guy. If you're going to tell me, if you're going to sit here and
We're back to boxing.
If you're going to sit here and fucking lie to me and say that you haven't had one moment where you were like, wait, what just happened there?
You know what?
There was no parents?
But see, people don't realize I grew up as a baseball player. So I know about baseball and softball, right?
Yeah.
That's my thing. So it's like, I'm also like a lot of these parents probably never played baseball or certain sports.
Yeah.
So they don't know like why the coach is doing this or why the coach is doing that. And I can relate to it a little bit. And I do question some things. As a parent, you're like, why is my daughter this or that or whatever?
You ain't never had a moment with a parent or a coach that you felt like was doing too much and you like kind of let it slide and you're like, okay, now one more.
I had an issue with a coach that wasn't doing enough.
Okay.
Now my daughters are in a great situation, and my 12-year-old daughter, her coach is like phenomenal. Like, he runs it like a college practice, and it's like timed and scripted, and he knows exactly what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fun to see them progress and become young ladies and love something other than TV or iPad. You know,
yeah.
We limit that as parents. We limit like during the week. especially during school year, they don't watch TV.
Yeah,
limit the screen time.
Yeah, I really limit that when my wife is home. When she's not home, it's do whatever you want. What do you want to watch? Sesame Street.
That's the babysitter. The TV is the babysitter.
Literally, they can do the Elmo dance like nonstop. Like I'll sit there and watch. Like we'll both be on our iPads together until she gets home. Then I turn everything off and then like hand them a basketball. I'm like, let's go shoot. Like once you hear that garage door open, what happened? Oh, well, we've just been playing ball all day. Like he's
you're exhausted. Confusing your kid. I can tell you that much.
Oh well, no, he doesn't know we have the game, the Don't Tell Mommy game, right? Like, you know, and he's still just learning words, so it's not that bad. Like he found this thing called Allie Strum. She gave me these things called Tim Tams, which are like these English chocolates, like little things from Australia. So I ate a bunch of them or whatever, and they were in our room. He wakes up at like 8 o'clock. She's in the bathroom, and I see him like looking at the wrapper. He's looking at the wrapper, and he looks over and sees like one of them in the little case. So he takes it out, and he's like, "Can I have?" And I was like,
"Go ahead."
Sure, go ahead.
8 in the morning.
So he eats it, and I was like, "Come on, come over here." And he's like, "No, I want to go find mommy." And I was like, "No, no, what are you doing?" I was like, and then it's just like, okay, at that point in time, like we've already, and so like he took a bite of it, and so there was one left, and I didn't want him to have both, so I take one. He's like, "Can I have two?" I'm like, "You got one in your hand right now." And so he took that in, and I might have got a talking to, and I just lied and said I didn't see him grab it. I didn't see him grab it. I'm sorry. You knew where it was on the counter, right? Little snitch. But no, man, I know you got stuff to do, so I want to take you. I just felt like this was a rare opportunity to have two veterans who we played together. Our lives have intersected in ways, like you said, anytime my name is mentioned, you get shipped away.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be really, really honest. Every single time they've always asked me like what I've thought about you. And that's probably part of the reason why you've been shipped away. that's probably part of the reason.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah. I was like, honestly, like...
We don't need him.
No, if he's here, then I won't be the funny one. You know what I'm saying? On the team. And it's just...
You know what's funny? A lot of people think I'm really quiet.
No, you're an asshole. Dog. That's how we bonded, right? We bonded. We even joked. We're like, well, yeah, when I retire and I'm going to start coaching, you know you're going to be there, right? Like, yeah. Like, that was the first thing. Because people didn't think the same thing about me.
Right.
Right. Until I started doing this and people kind of started saying, like, I was like, I don't talk on the court.
Right.
I don't really talk to other people. I didn't play for a lot of teams at the time. So unless you had a personal experience with me,
you don't know.
Right, you don't know. And you had no idea I was such an asshole.
No.
And because of that, Richard, it's one of the many reasons why we started Road Trippin', to get an inside look into what really happens on and off the court, what the personal side of professional athletes, for example, is all about, and really just make sure we are the ones telling our stories. Of course, we want to thank Jameer for dropping by. Although it wasn't for long, it was time well spent. For now, that's another edition of Road Trippin', Richard versus Channing, hosted by yours truly. Until next time.